goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank Him for His goodness tonight. Amen. Amen. God bless you, musicians. Thank you. Amen. It's good to be back with you again tonight. Amen. We're just giving Brother Doug a couple days extra rest this week. So we just want to pray that the Lord would bless him. Amen. Brother Doug's really good at a lot of things, but he's not very good at taking a break. So, amen. We want to give him an opportunity to take a couple days off. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you glad to be here tonight? Amen. Let's just bow our heads as we change the order of the service here tonight before we read His Word. Father, we're gathered here, Lord, tonight under the shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Lord. Lord, as the song says, Lord, nothing in my hands I bring, but simply to Thy cross I cling, Lord. Lord, truly we have nothing to offer You tonight except our surrendered hearts, our lives, Lord. Our minds, our bodies, Lord, we just give it all to You, Lord. All that we have tonight, Lord. Because You're worthy, Lord. Lord, You're worthy of everything that we can give. But Lord, we don't have any righteousness to offer You, Lord. We don't have any grand works, Father. None of that matters, Lord. Because all You asked is that we take on Your righteousness. That we receive, Lord, the free gift that You have extended to us, Lord, and we want to do that tonight, Father. We want to receive all that You have for us, Lord. We want to receive from Your Word, Lord. We want to receive, Lord, from Your Holy Spirit, Father. We want Your presence, Lord, to come and change us, Lord. So, Lord, as we just commit these few minutes here tonight to You, Father, we just ask that You would move and have Your way tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn into our Bibles tonight. I'd like to read a few portions of Scripture. Amen. Before we take our seats tonight, I'd like to read from Isaiah chapter 1. Amen. We want to just for a simple subject here tonight on a Wednesday night, speak about meeting with God. Amen. Meeting with God. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16. It says, wash you and make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes and cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Amen. And then Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Says, this is in the Garden of Eden here. It's just a verse. It says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And then Psalm 16:8, I have set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated tonight. Amen. As Brother Mike said, we just covet your prayers tonight. We'll be leaving after the service to go drive down and do a little hunting this weekend. So we just appreciate your prayers for traveling. I was thinking on the way over here tonight, I'll be glad to have Brother Mike with me driving a few hours tonight because he's a professional. Amen. Amen. Hopefully he knows how to stay awake, right? Amen. Well, the Bible says here, you know, and this verse here we want to kind of just look at here, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16. And this is one of those verses that's been used in many different contexts, and I believe sometimes taken out of context, but where the Lord says, come. He says, come now and let us reason together. Right? That verse there, it's been, you know, I've seen it used in the context of teaching, Bible teaching. I've seen it, you know, used in the context of men speaking about the scripture from a scholarly standpoint, right? But that's not the image that we want to have in our mind, right? We don't want to have the image in our mind that God is saying, you know, let's use reasoning, right? Let's use man's intellect and reasoning to figure this out. He's not saying that. He's not saying come to a lecture, right? We're not interested in going to a man's convention where there's you know, maybe at headlines, you know, these men are going to explain everything, and there's nothing wrong with that teaching, with teaching the word. But that's not what the visual, what we should take from this verse. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, you come reason with me. Amen? This is not man getting together and reasoning. Right? And men have used this, come, let us reason together. Brothers, you know, let us figure, we'll figure this out and build our doctrines and things like that. No, this is the Lord saying this. Amen? He's saying, you come meet with me. And I will give you the correct understanding. Now, where it says reason, it doesn't mean like we would think where we, you know, we're debating an idea. I have an idea and I throw it out and you poke holes in it and then, you know, I refine my idea. That's for debate class. Right? This is come, let us settle the matter. There's a question or there's a problem, right? There's something that's unsure, that somehow you're not quite perfectly founded on the word, or you're off a little bit. In this case, he's speaking about righteousness, right? And he's showing them a better way. And so he's saying, come and let me settle the matter for you. Amen. As only he can do. Amen. You could come and it would be beneficial to you, I believe. If you had a Bible question, you come and you ask the pastor, you meet with the pastor, you meet with a minister, and they maybe can explain it to you. And that would be good. Or you listen to a tape and you hear an explanation, and that's helpful. But until God comes and you meet with him and he settles it for you, amen. That's what he's talking about. He's saying, come sit with me. Amen. Come meet with me. So that's what we want to just speak about here tonight. He's saying, you know, you've listened to or you've heard other voices. Man, there are many voices speaking. There's plenty of advice out there to go around. And a lot of it is free advice. Amen? You can find advice anywhere. People will freely give you their opinion. Amen? There's lots of leaders. There's lots of people that are considered thought leaders and intellectual men, scientists, scholars, that are very free about giving you their advice or their thoughts on things. Right? But God says, look, there's a voice over here and you're listening to that, or a voice over here and you're listening to that. Why don't you come to the source? Amen? How about just settling the matter? Settling the question. Come talk to me about it. And you know, that sounds simple, brother, sister, but so many times we don't do that. Amen? Where we listen to this or we listen to that, or we are affected by this, We're affected by a symptom or a circumstance and we're listening to that. We're looking to that. Instead of meeting with Him and letting Him settle the matter for us. Amen. Brother Branham referred to this idea and preached many sermons about it. No doubt you've listened to it or read them. He spoke about conferences. Conferences with God, having a conference with God, many different titles with the same kind of idea. He said that a conference is a formal meeting or discussion. Formal in that it has a purpose. Not formal as in dead, right? But formal as in this is not just haphazard, right? There's a focus. There's a reason for having it. There's a weight to it. We have a purpose. We're not just doing this because, you know, spur of the moment, right? This is, there's a gravity, there's a weight to meeting with God and having a, calling a conference with Him. Because we believe that something's going to be accomplished by it. We believe that it's going to matter, that it's going to mean something. Amen? And, brother, sister, we're used to seeing this in many parts of our lives. I remember growing up, and I suppose maybe they still do it a little bit, but they used to have parent-teacher conferences. They would call it a conference. And they would set it up and set a whole a week aside for it, right? And we used to get to go home early, so we liked it. Amen? So I remember, hey, it's parent-teacher conference time. Awesome. Hallelujah. Amen? But they would have, at my school, I remember they had like a schedule in every grade, and the teachers were kind of uptight about it a little bit. They were nervous about it because they really prepared, and they knew it was kind of an accountability time for them. It was important, right? It was a time where they were meeting, maybe the only time that they had where they could, you know, talk about the progress of the student and talk about any issues that came up. Or talk about the good things, right? The things that they wanted, they were hoping that the family would keep doing. And so it was very formal, and they had a limited amount of time, and they had an agenda, and they put a very, they let us all go early. They put an importance on it. Amen? Conference means something, it's something real. It has an importance to it. It's not haphazard. And you know, in industries and big corporations and things, they have big conferences. Amen. I've been to a lot of them. There's big money in these things, right? They have these big conferences where they pay speakers to come. They'll have keynote speakers and speakers throughout the day and throughout the week, and they'll have vendors there trying to sell you and, you know, their products, and they're trying to bring awareness maybe to a, you know, some sort of cause or some sort of market or something like that, right? It's a big deal. It's very formal. There's a purpose. Brother Branham referenced the big conferences that happened, you know, in his time around the world wars. Where in World War II, we had all of these nations that were kind of allied together and they really didn't have much in common. Other than the fact that they had a common enemy. And so they would have these really important conferences where they would come together. You'd get Stalin, right, from Russia. And you'd get Churchill and you'd get different representatives. I mean, they couldn't be more different. Their nations couldn't be more different. Amen. And of course, our country was represented there. And these men would come together and they would try to work out their differences enough that they could work together. They had to settle decisions. Hopefully, they would maybe come with questions, right? Or disagreements or problems. But when they left, hopefully they were able to work that out. And when they left, the idea is that they are all on the same page. They're all going the same direction. They're all fighting the same enemy. And now they've got a renewed vision for what they want to collectively do. A renewed understanding, a, a renewed trust in each other. Amen? We've been hearing sermons preached, you know, here on Wednesday nights about the power of unity. Amen? About how that when man was just united together even, how much power that there is, how much they can accomplish. Amen? And we see that happen in the natural, but what about the unity of the body of Christ? And what about the unity of the children of God with their Father? Amen? And so if an entire world war could be fought based on nations coming together and working together, I mean, we were working hand in hand. And we wouldn't let the enemy separate us. You know, it's amazing because the Bible speaks about this multiplication effect. Amen? And it talks about how, you know, if two or three are gathered, or if two agree as touching anything, right? A multi-stranded cord is not easily broken. If one shall chase, you know, 1,000 or whatever it is, 10 shall chase a multiplied amount. Right? I don't remember what it was exactly, but that's a principle of God. That it's not you just add one and it's one more. It multiplies. Why? Because we individually, we all have our part. Amen? We all have our strengths and our weaknesses and our gifts and callings. But together, they complement each other. And God places his gifts in the body and they all complement each other. And what is a weakness for one is a strength for another. And so the body doesn't have a weakness. Because there's one strength to cover that weakness. So it's beautiful. We saw that in the warring nations. If you look at it, I mentioned how different Russia was. And how different England was. And how different the United States were. We were all allies, but very different. The United States, we were like the industrial powerhouse. We had factories, man. We were cranking out stuff. And for a long time, that's all we did. We just sent ship after ship after ship after shipload of munitions to Russia and to England. That was all we did for a long time in the war. And England, they had their special gifts. They had intelligence. They had connections with the French and on the mainland. And they had code breakers. And they had a great intelligence network. They had a radar network. They had their own specialty. In Russia, they were just this massive land army, a movable force, you know. And so I say all that to say that in that unity, it was unstoppable. Amen? All because they came together in unity. And this happens with these meetings, with these conferences. That's where a lot of this is built. And brother, sister, that's what happens when we meet here. Amen? You didn't think that you just came here tonight haphazardly, right? You didn't just come because, well, it's Wednesday night on the calendar. Amen. You're here as part of a body. You're here for a conference. You're here for a meeting with God. Amen? You're here to get in the spirit of the move. Amen. To have your thinking readjusted. To be refocused and renewed. To have binds with your brother and sister be more tightly bound together. Amen. To stand arm in arm with your brother and sister against a common enemy. In our workplaces, depending on what type of work you do, but in the type of work that I did, we would have meetings constantly. We had lots of people doing a lot of different things in different places. And so it was imperative that we always are coming back and meeting and meeting and meeting and communicating and talking. Amen? I mean, daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, we were having some meetings. I kind of got to the point for me that I was in meetings all the time, but we were doing a lot of the work in those meetings, and the work was tying things together, bringing unity, getting people on the same page and going the same direction. Amen? People communicating, people over here that were doing some work and people over here that were doing different work that didn't know about it, and maybe we're pulling against each other or going the same way or whatever, but you need to bring them in harmony. Amen. We meet with God to get in harmony with Him. To get in harmony with His Word. So that we don't have parts of our lives that are pulling this way and pulling that way and desires of the flesh that are getting out of hand. When we meet with God, it brings, it ties all of that back together. Amen. Hallelujah. I was reading something this week, and you know that it's, of course, it's December, right? So they would call this season the Advent season. It's the time when, you know, most of the world's, at least the Christian world, celebrates the birth of Christ. And so, you know, we have kind of this holdover from, I think, it's like a Catholicism type thing where they kind of have the whole Advent season and things like that. But I saw there was this campaign and they were saying, this Advent season, pray. I thought, well, there's a novel thought. Huh. This Advent season, pray. Pray during Advent. And it was like, I had to look at it for a minute, like, what are they saying? They were implying that the rest of the time you don't pray. But during Advent, why don't you try praying? Right? They were targeting, I don't know who they're targeting. People that don't pray, obviously, right? Implying that the other times they don't pray. And it caught me kind of by surprise because we are taught to pray every day. And Brother Branham said a Christian has to. Right? And it's just a completely foreign idea that, oh, well, now is the season where you might want to think about praying. How about that? Come the new year, well, see you in Easter. I guess. I don't know. But we need to meet with the Lord all the time. Why? Because we're taking on the mind of Christ. Amen? That daily meeting that we have with Him keeps us in harmony with His Word and His Spirit. Amen? It redirects our thinking. It readjusts our perspective. Right? Recalibrates our thinking to be lined up with the Word again. And that's what we want. Amen? We want to be lined up with the Word. And it just reaffirms and reassures, yes, you're my child and we're going the same direction. This is the truth. Amen? Right. He comes and His presence reaffirms what is true. There's nothing like feeling like and knowing that you're in harmony with God. There's nothing like it. Nothing. Amen? That was, you know, why we read that scripture there in Genesis 3:8, because it shows when man fell, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God. They were no longer in harmony with Him. Amen? But brother, sister, we're called to walk in perfect harmony with God and His Word. We are supposed to bring our daily issues to God. We're supposed to bring before Him the ins and outs of daily life. Amen? The little things that we think are little, bring them to the meeting. Amen? I remember, you know, at work we used to, people would come and complain. Well, this is wrong, and this is bad, and blah, 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 right? They'd come and complain. When everybody come and complain with me, it was like, well, okay, bring it to the meeting. I'm not the one that can do anything about this. But there's going to be a meeting, and there will be people there that can do something about it. So bring it to the meeting. Don't just sit back and complain about it. Right, Brother Merritt? Don't just complain about bad gas prices. Take it to the one who can do something about it. Amen. Bring the little things to him before they become big things. Because otherwise, eventually, it's going to blow up. Amen. Let me just read you some statements here. I've got several things from the message that we want to read tonight. Amen. Pray this will be a blessing to you. This is from the message, The Waters of Separation. He says, you come first to the kitchen. So he's speaking about the body, right? Or the house being the part of your life, right? And you invite him in degrees. He comes in degrees. Start in the kitchen, right? There's different places of fellowship. So you come to the kitchen. The kitchen's where you eat. You come and eat like the church. You sit on a bench and hear the word. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing of the word. Then after you've eaten the word, then you come into the living room, which is the fellowship with the rest of the church. Then after that, the secret place is the bedroom, where you go in and kneel down, and where you, a bunch of you mammies used to a long time ago. I pray that it's not a long time ago in this church. Amen. I pray we got a bunch of praying mammies here tonight. Amen. Amen. A long time ago, go in there and pray for your children when they was out at night. And I hope our children aren't out at night except at church. Amen. That's what's the matter with the world today. Instead of them old-fashioned mammies back yonder a long time ago that prayed for their kiddies and things, they're out with their kiddies tonight smoking and drinking and carrying on like they are. And that's the reason we got juvenile delinquency. They talk that we're more civilized than they were. I doubt it. We sure don't act it. That one thing is true. I like that old-fashioned type. So he's speaking about those mothers that would just on their knees cry out to God. They would keep their children before the throne of God. He's speaking about, you know, those that aren't living right. Their children are out, right? That's what he's showing you here. If your children aren't right with God, you should be in this condition. You should be having a meeting with God. Why? Because he's the one that can do something about it. And he can and he will. Amen. He says that's the old fashioned type. I like that. Amen. He says, this is from A Hidden Life. Did you ever walk out of the morning in that real fresh, cool feeling? God has refreshed his earth. Fragrance. Did you ever go into a rose garden? Down my place, they got a lot of honeysuckles. And the honeysuckle don't smell much along in the heat of the day, but it's early in the morning when all the air has been purified. Then that aroma of honeysuckle, I've smelled it. It's amazing, right? Let a man be out fussing, fighting, stewing, and you'll never get much of an aroma from that, of the gospel. But let him get alone one time in the stillness of God. You see, meeting with God changes a man. Amen? He says, every man that comes to the pulpit ought to dwell alone first. Then comes the fruits, yielding forth its fruits. Every man that stays in the presence of God, into this great secret place, hid away, will yield the fruits of righteousness, peace, love, joy, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, patience. Don't fuss about these other things. Get that in your life. And you'll never get it until you hide away with God into that land of adoption. My. So if we don't see the fruits of the Spirit in our life, here's the remedy. Amen? Have a meeting. Have a meeting with God. Amen. He's the only one that can produce that in your life. Praise the Lord. And we know that things happen in our lives. Amen. Trials come our way, emergencies of life, circumstances, things that we didn't foresee, things that we maybe thought never could even happen. Things that come to push us and try us and stretch us. Amen. That are there for our perfecting, but they're hard. Amen. And we go through these things. And that's those situations brother, sister, that we should call for a meeting. Amen? When those things come in our lives, it hasn't surprised God. It's not news to Him. It's not new to Him. Nothing is out of His control. He's the one who can do something about it. Amen? We have to come back to Him because it's in those situations when we are most vulnerable. In those situations when the enemy can begin to work on us. He can begin to plant thoughts in our minds. He can begin to tear down our faith. He can begin to erode our experience. Amen? We're vulnerable. That's why we must come back. Continually. Come back. Have our thinking reset. Remember His thoughts. Think His thoughts. Amen. Come back and have a meeting with Him. Continually. The more that you meet with Him in those situations. Amen. The more you're going to be fortified against the enemy. Satan would love nothing more than to separate you from God. Push you away. He'll do whatever he can to push you away. Because if he can get a sheep separated from the shepherd, then he's got the sheep. Amen. But as long as that sheep just comes right back to the shepherd, though maybe it can't walk. Amen. Maybe it's bleeding. Maybe it's broken. Maybe it's hurting. But as long as it's leaning on the shepherd, and it won't leave the shepherd's side, the enemy can't get to it then. Then healing can come. Amen. And He is the healer. He is the deliverer. Why would we try and go somewhere else when He is the healer? When He is the deliverer. Amen. He's the one that can make sense of something that doesn't make sense. We don't understand. Why is this happening? Why is this coming to my life? He can make sense of it. You might not understand it all. That's the thing that's amazing about it, by the way. It's a peace that passes understanding. Amen? Sometimes you're not going to understand it. There are things we won't understand until we get to the other side. But yet, He can come and bring peace without understanding. Somehow, I don't know how He does this, but He makes it make sense spiritually, even though we can't understand it. Like I said, I don't understand it. I don't know how He does that, but He does. He can. But we've got to meet with Him. We got to give Him that chance. Amen? Too many times, brother, sister, we just let things go. Right? We just let things build up a little bit. Well, if I just, you know, maybe it'll go away. Well, maybe it won't. It's like a cavity. Right? Anybody ever had a cavity that got smaller? Right? It doesn't work that way, right? A cavity in your tooth. Usually they say, oh, we got it. It's just a tiny one. We'll fill it now, no problem. Well, what if we let it go? Well, next time it'll be bigger. And next time it'll be bigger. Pretty soon you'll lose the tooth and, right, you're doing a root canal. Would have been a lot easier just to fill it when it was a little tiny. Amen? That's where that daily communion comes in. We let things build up. We ignore it. We push it off to the side until the dam breaks. And then, oh, it's an emergency. And brother, sister, it happens. But even in that situation, call an emergency meeting. Get back to square one. Amen? Get back to the one who can reset. Brother Branham tells us the story, or the account, of when he had gotten to a place where he was frustrated because he had this gift in his life, or multiple gifts in his life. God dealt with him the way that he did. He was a prophet. He was out of ordinary, right? He was odd to everybody else. And he was odd to the ministers. And they kept telling him it's of the devil. Right? They kept telling him, you know, don't do that anymore. As if he could just stop having visions or stop having dreams, right? But they kept telling him that, you know, don't give in to that. Don't go that direction. Stay away from that. But yet he recognized there was something there, and he was torn. And it got to a place where he couldn't stand it anymore. And he said, this is from the message, Early Spiritual Experiences. He says, I said, no, honey, speaking to his wife, it's that same thing again, where the God was dealing with him in the supernatural. I said, look, I've got $17 laying in there. I'm going to have a showdown with God. In other words, he's leaving that money for her, right? I got $17. You can live off of that while I'm gone. And try that today, right? You could buy a McDonald's hamburger, maybe. I don't know. I guess a couple. He says, I'm going to go have a showdown with God. I'm tired of this. You see, he had been listening to this voice, that voice, these ministers and that ministers, and none of it made sense. So many voices were trying to tell him who he was and why it was happening. And he got to the place where he was tired of it, understandably, right? But he did the right thing. He went to have a showdown with God. He says, I'm tired of this. I've got a place where I'm going up here at Green's Mill, where many of you know where my hiding place, where the FBI couldn't find me, back in a cave where I go. I go there when things get bad, and I settle it with God in there. He settles it. He had a meeting place set aside just for that purpose. Whenever he said, whenever things get bad, he could go settle it with God. Amen. That's what we need, brother, sister. Amen. He said, I went back into that place there, that little cabin where I used to stay when I used to fish and hunt and trap back there. And I said, Mita, I don't know when I will return home. I can't tell you. Maybe in 2 hours. I may be home in 3 days. I may not be home for 2 weeks or 2 months. I don't know when I'm coming home. But I'm tired of this, and I can't live a prisoner. You see, he was to the place where he said, I've got to have it settled. I'm not going to put a time frame on it because I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. All I know is God has the answer. And I need the answer. And I need to meet with him and allow him to straighten things out. He said, everybody's telling me that I'm a devil and so forth like that and by that and me trying to live a Christian life. And in my heart, I love the Lord Jesus and expect to go to heaven. And I don't want to be plagued like this. Amen. So he did the right thing. Amen. He stopped everything. This is the most important thing. I've got to meet with him. I've got to have an answer. You see that? Now, brother, sister, that's placing some importance. Right? It's like everything stops. He wasn't going to go to work. He made sure that his wife was taken care of, but he wasn't thinking about hunting and fishing or doing any other thing. Anything that he likes. He wasn't thinking about friends. He wasn't thinking about anything except a conference with God. That's how much it meant to him. That's how important it was. Amen. And we come to times in our lives like that. Now that was a point in his life. It was a juncture in his life. Amen. Where he couldn't keep going the same direction that he'd been going. It was killing him. He felt like he was a prisoner. And he just realized, I can't go on this same direction that I'm going. And we come to those points in our life sometimes. Whenever we have, kind of speaking back again to like industry and business and projects and things, many times we're doing big projects or big endeavors. There are turning points in those where we come to a place that if we know, our eyes are opened, we hit a roadblock and we realize if we continue going this same direction, we're going to fail. This is going to fall apart. It's not going to work. We can't keep doing what we're doing. We can't keep going this same direction anymore. And what happens? We call a meeting. This is an emergency. Right? This is important. This is, for Brother Branham, it's life and death. For our project or whatever we're working on, this is failure. Staring us in the face, we need to call a meeting. Emergency meeting. It's important. Well, I've got this other thing. Well, that other thing can wait. That's the way we do it, right? I don't care what. Well, I have this normal thing. Well, that normal thing can be set aside. This is important. This is an emergency. Amen. We need to change course. We're in a position where we're destined to fail. Amen. Like a ship. The old sailing ships, they would be heading to a destination, but sometimes a storm would come up or the winds would be contrary and they'd kind of get blown off course. Right? They didn't have their own power. So they were kind of at the mercy of the currents and the winds sometimes. And maybe they would realize, oh my, we are facing the rocks. We're up against a rocky coast, a reef. And if we keep going, we're going to wreck. We're going to be killed. Change course. Amen? Change. We can't keep going. What do we do? We get together and decide what direction are we going to do. We're going to change our strategy. We call that changing course. Right, that's where that comes from. It's a ship. Change course. You can't keep going in that same course. You're headed for the rocks. You're going to crack up on the rocks. So we call a meeting. We can't let this go any longer. We just can't. Something has to change. Everybody involved comes to the meeting. Big project, big, lots of money involved, lots of people. So we bring everybody together. We have to plan a new strategy. We have to come up with a new course of action. And then once we do that, we have to set our feet in that direction. We have to get everybody on the same page. We were going this way. Now we're all going this way. And we all have to agree. We have to come to an agreement so that we can all pull together the same way. Amen. As children of God, we meet with Him. And He changes our direction. He sets our course. And He gets us in His mind, in His spirit, going the direction that He wants us to go. Amen. As children of God, His word convicts us of sin. It convicts us of just things that we're doing wrong. Just shortcomings in our life. Things that we need to surrender. Things that we need to give up. Things that we need to do. Things that, that His Word shows us. And when we meet with Him, we realize we can't keep going that way. We've got to change course. Amen? And He directs us. We come to critical junctures in our life. Brother Doug has, as he does about many things, he has his own distinct way of saying, expressing this that you've probably heard him say. He says, you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Right? You've heard him say that? That's what he's talking about. You come to a place, that's where Brother Branham was in this situation. You come to a place where you cannot go that direction anymore. I just can't do it. I'm stuck. I'm stopped. I can't go on that way. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Amen? That's the time to have that meeting. God will tell you how things really are. He'll give it to you straight. Man, that's what I love about Him. I love about His Word. It doesn't change. It doesn't waver. Right? It's not one thing one day and something else the next. It's not blown about by, you know, it doesn't depend on the weather and feelings. It's the same. It's straight. It's true. It's always right. Amen? And, well, let me just read to you this little statement here from Why It Had to Be Shepherds, preached here in Tucson. He says, there's a great lesson that sometime I hope to be able to bring it, Tucson, of those Hebrew mothers giving birth to those babies. So he's talking about the 12 tribes of Israel, their mothers giving birth to those patriarchs. And when she groaned at the birth of the baby, she called the name of the baby, and that positionally placed it in the promised land, its tribe. And this is the great thing. And so he's speaking about this natural process of birth, where a mother names a child, right? And now they ask the mother, what do you want to call it? And they, I don't know, they come up with some crazy name, and you try and think of something, right? And hopefully you prepared ahead of time, but if you didn't, you're not in a great condition to name a child after childbirth. But so you kind of end up with some strange things sometimes. But in this case, he's saying how that something so natural like that is woven into God's Word, positionally place them. He says the great thing, all the Word of God fits right together. And if it doesn't fit together, it's not God's Word that's misfit. It's your thought that's misfitting to the Word. Because it all fits together. Right? So, coming together with God, when He says, come, let us reason together. Let me settle it for you. What He's doing is He's giving you the Word fit together. And He's pushing out, or He's through that time spent with Him, time spent in His Word, He pushes out our imaginations. You know, because we've got, with reasoning, we have imaginations. Right? And imaginations is one of the most amazing parts of our human mind, so to speak. Because we can imagine, in our imagination, we can create just about anything. Amen? We imagine how things are, and our imagination is affected by how we perceive reality. But our perception is not always true. Amen? Good or bad, we have amazing imaginations. We can construct in our heads how we believe things to be. But He comes to tell us how things really are. That's why we have to continually meet with Him. I know this is one of the things, brother, sister, in my own life, just in prayer, that God continually works on me, on imagination. It's just resetting. No, but this is what the Word is. This is what the Word says. Well, I'm thinking that, but this is what the Word says. This is what my Word, this is what I promised, this is what I said. This is what I think of you. These are my thoughts concerning you. But I'm... No, this is the truth. This is real. This is reality. His Word is true. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will never fail. His Word is perfect. His Word is for eternity. His Word is a firm foundation. Your imagination needs to be pushed aside for the Word. Amen. This is such a time of people making up their own reality. Amen. And there's a great, there's kind of a balance to this, right? Because there's a great creativity where people can create. And, you know, people that, and I've spoken about this before, where people can create their own worlds, right? Where they can, writers and people that are authors and things like that, they can create out of their imagination. And now, with modern technology, like with computers and graphics and things, they can make those imaginations, like, come to life. But it's still imagination. Amen? It's still not real. No matter how much a person tells themselves that I'm a man, when they don't have the correct DNA for a man, they're not. Right? But their imagination, it's so real to them. And I believe it is. Right? They really think they are. But it's not real. To them, they'll say it's real. But that's not reality. And so what happens is in our society is people just cater to whatever your reality is. Right? We say, well, this is real to me. Wow, oh, okay, if that's real to you, man, then forget about what is actually real. God's word is real. God's promise, God's word is the ultimate reality. It is how things really are. No matter what our or anybody else's imagination says it is. Amen? And so when we come and we meet with Him continually washing us by the water of the Word, that's what He's doing. He's washing our imagination. Amen? He's cleansing us. He's resetting us back on His Word. No, this is real. I know you've had these things thrown in your face. You know, you've heard this and you've had this bombarding you this week and today, but now here's reality. Amen. Our imagination makes us concerned about things that don't warrant that concern. They make us worry about things we shouldn't worry about. Amen. They make us focus on things that shouldn't be our focus. Certainly, brother, sister, we pray earnestly that God provides our needs, our natural needs, right? Our, you know, jobs and homes and food and all the things that we need. But He said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Amen? Those things should never interfere with meeting with Him, with our service to Him. Amen? We come here to service three times a week. It's service. That's why we call it that. You say, I'm serving God. You come to service. Amen? Why do you come? Why do we do this? We do this to meet with Him. Do you think it's important to Him that you meet with Him? Yeah, it's important. Amen? But we shrug it off. Something that's important to God, and we easily shrug it off or minimize it. The time that we set aside for Him is sacred. Amen? Think about these words. You are meeting with God. Now, if I can see that, you know, you just kind of blew that off. when I used to places that I've worked, we had, you know, I worked a place where I had a boss, and that boss had a boss. And that boss had a boss, right? And that boss had a boss. And sometimes, maybe you would get a meeting with a boss, maybe like three times up three rungs up the ladder, so to speak, right? But that was very few and far between. And it was for, like, you know, when you get up that high, they have their, you know, their administrative assistant that handles everything, that does it. I mean, you never talk to them directly. It's like you call, you get the office, and they, right, you get up that high. Their time is precious. Okay, we'd like to schedule a meeting with you, but it can only be for a half an hour, and here are the available time slots, and this is what you have. And you know what? If they canceled on you, no big deal. If you canceled, big deal. Right? Why? Because their time, they were important. They were making three times as much as I did a minute. Right? They're important. Their time was valuable. My time was not considered as valuable to the company. But that's just a natural, a person with a job. They probably had a boss who had a boss who had a boss that, you know, same deal. And on up it goes. We're talking about God. A meeting with Him. Amen? And I would look forward to sometimes to those meetings because it was an opportunity for me. If there were things that, you know, big picture things that I didn't have the clout to make happen, ideas that I thought could actually have a farther reaching, be important things. And I would look forward to that because I could present that. And it was your opportunity to kind of put your best foot forward and show, hey, you know, this is what's happening and these are problems. And they would look forward to that opportunity too. Because it was an opportunity to have a meeting with somebody with some influence. Somebody who could do something about these things that just kind of kept piling up and piling up. But we have an opportunity tonight to have a meeting with God. You have an opportunity when you wake up in the morning to have a meeting with God. Amen? You don't have to go through an administrative assistant. You don't have to schedule 6 months ahead. He's not going to cancel on you. Amen? You can meet with the one who can make a difference. We can meet tonight with Him. We have an opportunity tonight to meet with Him in an atmosphere that you can't create by yourself. Every time we come together, we have that opportunity. We create an atmosphere of worship. It's something that you can't do alone. That's why we meet. You can meet with Him by yourself, but it's not the same. And you should meet with Him by yourself. And in fact, really, you're meeting with Him by yourself even when you're here. But you can do it in an atmosphere where there's an atmosphere of worship created, where there's an atmosphere of faith. Amen. Where are those that are around you that can push away darkness, can push away evil spirits. Amen. Can make it easier for you to hear His voice. Where you can have His word preached to you that will come and wash your mind. If you see signs of yourself slipping, compromising, amen, sliding into lukewarmness, that's the time for a conference. That's the time to come talk it over with Him. Amen. See what He says about it. Hallelujah. Many times, though, we have excuses. Amen. Many times, we bring to the meeting with God our excuses. And that's not new. Men in the Bible did that. Moses did that. When God came to him in a burning bush to have a conference with Moses, he had an excuse. Lord, I can't. I can't go do that. I can't speak good. Right? They're not going to listen to me. God unveils His mighty plan to Moses. And Moses responds with why he can't do it. Of course he couldn't do it. Amen? And you can't do it either. But he can do it in you. Amen. We can't overcome in this life any more than Moses could conquer Egypt. But Moses conquered Egypt, didn't he? Amen? He can. In that conference, Moses was fully persuaded. He left that meeting with God fully persuaded that God was going to deliver Israel. That's what that meeting did for him. Changed his whole life. He was a shepherd. Right? He had run from God. He had run from the promise. And God took him and just reset him. This is my word, Moses. This is my plan for you. This is who you are. Moses' excuse? Nope. Let's take that excuse off the table. Next excuse. Amen? It didn't matter. Moses' excuses didn't matter. Through that meeting with God, he reset and reset. Sometimes, brother, sister, that, I'll be honest with you, that's the way my meetings with God go. Sometimes. All I have is complaints and excuses. And I just keep airing them and airing them and airing them until suddenly the Holy Spirit begins to just, well, wipe this one away and wipe that one away. And then, but the Word says this, and this is what I, amen? Fully persuaded. Brother Branham says this in the message, believe from the heart. He says, watch, I've seen it work. To think that you'll get into that contact with God, and it becomes till it isn't your voice anymore. It's not your thought anymore. It becomes God's thought and God's voice. You are just a vine or just a branch, and he's the vine. And if his Spirit that goes in and energizes, as long as you can get yourself out of the way, he will fill it up. And then you can be a witness, just like Noah's Ark was a witness, like Jesus was a witness of God. He becomes so full of God till him and God was one. God dwelt in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, the very expression. A man's work declares his character. Christ was God's work, and Christ declared God's character, his feeling for the sick, his longing for saving souls, till he even gave his own life. God's character, God's work, God's character was declared in Christ. And if you, he's not limiting this to his own ministry. If you tonight can just empty out your own intellectual thoughts and give God the right of way, he can declare his character through the work of your yielding. Empty out. Get the world out. Get your doubts out of the way. If you come to the altar to be prayed for, say, I'll go up and see if I get healed. God can never declare his works. Right? As our pastor likes to say, you're just trying it out or testing God. He says, God can never declare his works. You've got to get your own thoughts out of the way and let him fill you. You've got to have a meeting. You've got to have a conference with him and let him clear your thinking out of the way. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we have our excuses. Amen. Isaiah had his excuses. He said, Lord, I am a man of unclean lips. He's giving him his commission. Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell with a people of unclean lips. Okay? Here's a coal of fire. What's your next excuse? Right? Well, I can't do this. All right? Here's the answer. Next. Amen? Peter said, depart from me to Jesus. I am a sinful man. Jesus, I'm going to give you my Spirit. Amen? I'll make you a fisher of men. Those are very different ideas. Amen? Peter had his excuse. Jesus had the answer. Brother Branham even told, when he had that meeting in the cave, the angel came to him and told him what it was all about. Guess what he had? You can say it. An excuse why he couldn't do it. He said, they won't believe me. I don't have an education. Amen? Do you want to read that? Let's read it. This is from the Message, As I Was with Moses. He says, now it was hard for me with a seventh grade education and just a local game warden working for a living with some children to take care of, living in a two-room cabin. How was I ever to meet with kings and monarchs and great men of the world and congregations from east, west, north, south to come to see me to be prayed for? That shock at that time, my faith couldn't comprehend that. He said, and I said, sir, they wouldn't believe me. Why I couldn't talk. You see, his own mind, right, his own thinking, his own imagination, he's trying to even imagine how this would be. An excuse. But he was having a meeting. I can't talk. He says, that's true yet. I can't talk a real good conversation with people because I'm not educated enough. And I was coming down the elevator of the hotel that I'm staying in, I believe it was last night, and I was saying something to an elderly woman there, and there was a big fellow standing there. Said, you sure from Texas? Said, your talk sure sounds like, I said, my mother was, I'm from the South. I said, I haven't got the ability to make speech even. And sometimes at a ministerial dinner and so forth, I just let my manager or some of them talk because I can't make a sensible talk to the people in a way that educated men like that should talk to one another. And that's the reason someone comes to the platform and introduces the things, is because my ability is not enough for that. And God took care of it. Amen? We have to let God remove our excuses. Don't let your excuse stop you. Just take it to Him. Say, Lord, here it is. And He'll bring the answer. Abraham said, I'm too old. And he was. I'm old, my body can't do it. Sarah's old, her body can't do it. What you're saying can't happen. That's our excuse. Right. Amen? And we know that it happened. In every example that we've given, the child of God brings their excuse. Amen? Their hindrances. Why it can't be done. What's holding me back? What's stopping me? Come, let us reason together. Right. Something's holding you back. Something's stopping you. Come, bring it to Him. Let us reason. Let it settle the matter. Don't just keep holding on to that excuse. Don't keep holding on to that hindrance or that roadblock. Take it to Him. Come, let us have a conference. Let us settle the matter once and for all. Let's remove that hindrance. Let Him show you His plan for you. Amen? Every one of these had a reason, but then God showed them, this is my plan. Amen? Let go of that and receive what I have for you. Let go, put it down, right? You're holding on to that excuse. Set it down. Instead, let me give you a vision. What I think, what my thoughts are towards you. Amen? Turn away from those things to the Word of God. This is from the Message, the Conference with God. We're almost finished here. When we have world conferences, he says they usually have selected their place. And what do they do at the conference? They drink drinks and cocktails and smoke cigars and cigarettes. They lie to one another. They deceive one another at peace talks of the world. But when God calls a conference, listen to this. When God calls a conference, it's fasting, cleaning up, prayer, receiving orders, going forward. That's God's conference. Not feasting, but fasting. Not indulging in filth, but separating. Cleansing yourself from all unrighteousness when you go before God. Cleaning yourself by faith through applying the hyssop to the blood. Cleansing your heart, walking before God for a conference. That's the kind of conferences when you meet with God. Then God gives you orders, then you go forward, and He goes with you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let me just read a couple more and we'll close tonight. This is the voice of God in this last days. He says, Adam heard His voice in the cool of the evening and had fellowship with Him. There was no condemnation to Adam. He heard the voice of God and he said, Father, Now I lay me down to sleep. And he laid down, Eve on his arm, the lion, the tiger, the wild beast laid right around him. There was no harm, no way of getting sick, no way of wondering if he'd wake up in the morning. They're going to wake up. Adam heard his voice in the way that he ought to have heard it. But one day he heard his wife's voice. I better leave that alone for a while, but he listened to the wrong voice, yet it was his wife, the closest tie he had on earth. Why didn't he, like Job, thou speakest like a foolish woman? And if he would have, the whole human race would have been living instead of dying. It changed the course of human beings in time. But he heard a voice of God. He had fellowship with it. But when he turned, how did he know that his wife was wrong? Remember, it was pleasant. Amen? And actually, I have two kind of run together here. Let me read this one as well. This is, sirs, we would see Jesus. He says, our Father, Heavenly Father, in the sacredness of this moment when decisions must be made whether men will live and die, these Christians have made their confession because of your presence. And the scripture telling us we're at the end time, and they have their hands laid on each other, which is your word commissioning your church. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never fail. Therefore, Satan, you are a defeated being. You have no legal rights to begin with to torment these people. You're a bluff, and we're calling that bluff. Jesus Christ defeated you in death and resurrection. His blood paid every price of sin that you coaxed the family of the human race into. Now we are sons and daughters again. His anointing spirit is speaking with us this evening as he did with Adam in the cool of the evening. So you see, we got the quote where he's talking about where he was in the cool of the evening, and he's saying now we are back in that place. He says, you cannot hold these Christians any longer. I adjure you by the living God that you depart from these sick people, come out of them, that they can go from this building tonight free from sickness with a faith so predominating it'll drive you out of their thoughts and realms in the name of Jesus Christ. I commission Satan to leave these people, these diseases in the form of disease, which is the devil. Depart from these people through Jesus Christ's name. Why? Because we are restored again to the fellowship that Adam had in the beginning with Father. Sin was the thing that separated us. And I love the way that Brother Branham puts that. He says that he, in the beginning, he heard the voice of God the way he ought to have heard it. In other words, with clarity, with perfect understanding, with nothing competing. He was walking in what that voice was saying to him. In perfect harmony with God's thinking. Amen? And now because we are in this condition of sinful flesh, where we are coming out of that by the shed blood of Christ, but yet still dealing with it. Amen? We have to continually come back to him to hear the voice again. And again, and again, hear that voice, hear that voice. Amen. Meet, hear, conference, fellowship. We have to meet with him continually to keep the other voices at bay. Amen. And then just last one here that says, in his presence, and we'll just end with this one here tonight. He says in Psalm 16:8, David said, I have set the Lord before me. That was the last scripture that we read in our opening this evening. He says, that's a good thing to do. Psalm 16:8 says, I have set the Lord before me. So he could not be confused about it. He wanted to be conscious of his presence. Amen. Oh, if we could just be conscious of his presence. He says, David said, I have set the Lord always before my face. Now I, David, have set the Lord before my face always to be conscious of God's presence. Wouldn't that be a good lesson for all of us tonight? Set the Lord before our face so we'll be conscious of his presence. Put him first. Why? Put him first before you. Why? Then you won't sin when you're realizing that constantly you're in the presence of God. When you realize God's around, you watch what you say. Amen? And then he continues further down in paragraph 72. He says, be with these people. Many of them are going to travel the dark nights tonight. Many of them will travel many miles. Don't let nothing happen to them, Lord. They come across the country to sit here and listen to the countdown to see how close we was to the end time. And I've asked them to go away, placing God before them, always before them, before anything else, before their trip, before their move, before they get up, after they go to bed, always before they sleep. Wherever it is, put God first, for he is on my right hand, and I shall not be moved. Then may their hearts rejoice to know that they have what they've asked for, because God promised it, and their flesh shall rest in hope. Grant it, Lord, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I will praise him. I will praise him. He says, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all you people, for his blood has washed away its stain. Now he says, now do you believe? You have placed the Lord between you and your sin, between you and your sickness, between you and your fault, between you and your ways. The Lord is always before me, and I am in his presence. The next time I start to light a cigarette, the Lord is before me. The next time I start to lust, the Lord is before me. The next time I start to tell anything wrong, the Lord is before me. The next time I start to say a bad thing, the Lord is before me, and I shall not be moved. Amen. I'll live in his presence each day with my dealings, each day with my talk. I'll walk as if the Lord is before me, because tonight I put him before me and I shall not be moved. Do you love him? Amen. Let's stand tonight. We must approach him on the grounds of Calvary. Amen. Always his presence before us. And in his presence is fullness of joy. Amen? In his presence, everything changes. That's what he's talking about. If you recognize that God is between you and your own thinking, God is between you and your faults, you and your sins. Amen? There's power in that. We have to have a conference with him. We have to continually meet with him and come into his presence. The beautiful thing is, brother, sister, we can do it anytime. Anytime. Because we don't approach him based on our own good works. We don't have to wait until we're feeling super spiritual. We don't have to wait until we've worked up some emotion. We don't have to wait for anything. Amen? We have Calvary tonight. That's how we approach him, is through Calvary. Christ has made a way so you can come boldly into his presence. You can come approach him and meet with him any time, any moment. We can't approach him with something in our hand like, Lord, look at what I did for you. Amen? I think it was Sister Baker, right? You guys used to have a cat that would bring dead things to you. Is that right? You ever had a cat like that? Brings its offering. Headless gopher. Dead snakes, whatever, right? Leave an offering for you at the front door. Amen? What's your response to that? Well, I appreciate the thought, but really not necessary. Right? We laugh, but that's just like you trying to bring something to God. Here's, Lord, look, here is this dead rat. Paul said it's filthy rags. It's a dung heap. That's what you're trying to bring. Lord, look at, here it is, Lord. Look at what I've done. Beautiful pile of dung. Amen? That's not how we approach him. He doesn't want that. He wants you. He wants to meet with you. He wants surrender and praise. He wants you to come on a Wednesday night when you're tired and honor him. He wants you to reverence him. To come in and pray before the service and treat it like it's important. Because guess what? It's important to him. This thought kind of stirred me up a little bit, brother, sister. You know, sometimes, you know, if you're married, you have a spouse or somebody that you care about. When you find out something is important to you, or important to them, rather, it becomes important to you, right? You want to, you find out, man, that really means something to them. Then you really take that on and, man, that, I really want to do that for them or fulfill that or be that or whatever that is that's important to them, right? It's important to God to come to service and meet with Him. It's important to God to meet with Him in your prayer closet. Amen? To commune with Him. It's important to Him. Shouldn't it mean a little something to us? Honor. Reverence. Like Brother Branham said, it's not haphazard, but believing who He is. He is God. The God of the universe that holds your soul in His hand. Holds the very breath, the next breath that you take, the next beat of your heart. And yet He's your loving Father. And He wants to meet with you. We would say, as we often say when we come to church, we say it's an honor and it's a privilege to be here tonight. And we say that many times at the beginning of the service, when we're praying, we come in, we remind ourselves, it's an honor. It's a privilege. Amen? And that's what we'll, instead of starting with that, we'll close with that tonight. It's an honor and a privilege to be here, to meet with Him, to hear His word, something of tremendous value and price and meaning, to be desired more than gold, fellowship with our Father. Amen? Amen. 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 Let's just bow our heads tonight. Father, truly, Lord, it is an honor. It is a privilege. Lord, we could think of so many men throughout the ages, kings and leaders and rich men that have gathered to themselves so much honor and praise, and people would shake and cower in their presence and cast gold at their feet, cast gifts upon them, shower them with love and adoration, and they are nothing compared to You. You are the King of kings, Lord of lords, God of gods, mighty, mighty God. And Lord, it is an honor and a privilege to be able to meet with You, to speak to You personally, to hear Your word, Lord, to have an opportunity here on earth to proclaim Your gospel, to proclaim Your word, to express Your thoughts. It's an honor. It's a privilege. Forgive us, Lord, when we've lost sight of that, Lord. Maybe we've just treated it as commonplace. But Lord, what an opportunity that we have to meet with You. Lord, and I pray that in the coming days, Lord, maybe as we meditate on these words, Father, that we take those opportunities, Lord, to have a conference with You, to have a meeting with You. It doesn't have to, it could just be right where we're at, Lord, driving down the highway, in our bedrooms, Lord, in our homes. Wherever we find ourselves, Lord, taking that time to meet with You, to talk it over with You, to let You remind us, Lord, what's real, what's important. Time is short, Lord. We know that countdown, it's coming down to the very last moments of this Gentile age. Lord, we want to be focused. We want to be right centered, Lord, in Your will, walking, Lord, in Your ways, walking in Your plan, Father. Help us, Father, just to come
back every day, Lord. Just reset, reset. Touch base with you. Receive from you. Speak to you. Have you speak back to us. And we certainly appreciate it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for being so available always, Lord. Desiring our fellowship. We love you, Lord. Lord, I want to just pray tonight. Lord, maybe there's some here tonight that they've let things pile up. Lord, they've come to that place where maybe things have begun to snowball and build up, and they realize, I can't keep going in this way. I can't let this continue. Maybe it's a big thing, maybe it's a small thing, but I can't let this continue. Father, I pray for those right now, Lord, that you would just meet with them. Lord, may they call a conference with you. Call a meeting. Say, Lord, I don't want to keep going this same direction. I can't let this continue. May it stop. Help me, Lord, change this. Lord, remove this obstacle. Change my thinking. Change my heart. Give me strength. Do whatever it takes, Lord. I pray, Lord, that they would cry out, Lord. They can do it right now. They can do it at home, wherever, oh God. But I pray that they make that choice, Lord. Commit that meeting with you, Lord. We know, Lord, when we come to you and we come in your presence in that way, we are changed. We're never the same. Every time we come into your presence, Lord, you change us. Oh, how we thank you for it, Lord. You're changing us from glory to glory. Oh, Father, we love you tonight. We thank you, Lord. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing, Lord, I Run to You. Lord, I run to you. No one else will do. Lord, in troubled time, I will run straight to you. Though my heart and flesh may fail, you're my ever-present help, my tower of strength, my portion evermore. And Lord, I run to you. Oh, hallelujah. He's the one to run to tonight. No one else. Lord, you said we face trouble, pain, and fear, but to be of good cheer, be of good cheer, for you have overcome the No.